what kind of branding does that build when a company employee comes over to your blog and talks to you? That builds a solid branding experience because it's like, whoa, this company is listening, it's clued in, it's checked in, and these guys are empowered to fix my problems or even say thank you for your business, you know? It's like, wow, that's the kind of company I want to do business with.
This is PodTech.net. Welcome to Marketing Voices, featuring the fresh perspectives of innovative marketing leaders and examining how social media is changing marketing throughout the world. Here's your host, Jennifer Jones.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Jones, and today I'm here with Robert Scobel, and it's the Robert Scobel.
Oh, geez. The one and only.
The one and only. And we're going to be talking about word of mouth marketing. We're going to be talking about why you all should be blogging. And obviously coming from The Source and the most well-known blogger in the world.
Don't blog.
So no, we're going to have a very serious conversation. I told him going into the show that he had to have a serious conversation with me about this because I want all of our clients and all of my listeners to actually start blogging. So with that, I'm going to ask you, like, why did you ever start to blog? What was, like, your real impetus for blogging when you first
started? I was running computer conferences back in the late 90s and early 2000, and asked all the speakers that worked for me what we should be doing, and two of the speakers said, we should have a session on blogging. I didn't think it was important enough to do a session on, but they talked me into starting one, and so I started writing about my conference business and the world I was living in, which is all tech and geek world.
So. And this was 2000,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what made you then decide that this was, besides that moment, I mean, it was sort of like, okay, you got a response, you know, you started blogging, people responded back to you, and you went, oh my God, this is incredible.
Yeah, well, Dave Weiner linked to me within 10 days and sent me 3,000 people with that first link. And I said, wow, that's interesting. And I got invited to Steve Wozniak's Super Bowl party within the first month and a half, and I thought, that's pretty cool. This cool stuff's happening because I'm writing about my life and sharing with people anyways. And then I started noticing the effect of Google, because as those links came in, my Google ranking went up, and I started showing up on Google results for weird things. And I learned that I could put stuff into the blogs into the web using my blog. Like if I was at a weird restaurant that didn't have a website or didn't have a Google rank yet, like I was at a coffee place in Redmond, Washington, and so I get home and write about that coffee place and link to their new website that they just got, and that would get into Google, and then within a week I could pull it back out, and that was interesting. That's why I missed social bookmarking. I missed the whole delicious thing, right? Because that now Yahoo bought.
Right.
Because
Yahoo.
I didn't need a social bookmarker because I knew how to stick stuff into Google and how to pull it out. Because I would just put Redmond Coffee and Scoble, and then Google would bring me back the thing I had stuck in, you know, 5 months earlier.
Oh my goodness!
And that's true. I use it to pull things out of Google that's been in there for a couple of years. You know, because I remember I wrote about, you know, North Face, where I wrote about some weird thing 3 years ago. How I met some guy, you know, at CNN. I forget his name. CNN Scobel. And sure enough, there was the post in Google.
So you really use it like a file cabinet almost.
Almost, yeah.
And then, so yesterday you gave this speech that was wonderful to all of our corporate marketing folks, and you talked about this being a Google world.
Yeah.
So give me some more context around that, why you believe in that so much, because you focused on that quite a bit.
Because I go to Apple stores, which an Apple store still has a geek using it, but you can sit there and watch the behaviors of normal everyday people. And I also go on planes a lot and watch how they use things. And I also go to people's houses, you know, because they hear I work at Microsoft, and that creates some image.
You worked at Microsoft.
Worked at Microsoft, yeah. But, you know, they would bring me over and I would watch what they're doing. And I noticed everybody, even non-sophisticated users, knew how to use search engines. They now, that's their web interface. In fact, what's like one of the top hits on Google? It's Yahoo. It's true. Because people who use like Yahoo email, don't know how to get to Yahoo email through the address bar, so they go to Google and search on Yahoo. And it's reverse true. I talked into Yahoo people the other night, and they said, yeah, actually, one of our top searches is Google.
Oh, my
God. You know, because people don't know how to put the thing in the address bar. So they'll go to the search box, which something loaded up a search box on it, and they'll go and just type Google on, which is bizarre. But that shows how
fundamental.
Well, fundamental, the search experience is now to normal everyday people.
Right.
And I also saw that in my refer logs at Microsoft. I mean, on my blog, I get a lot of traffic from Google. In fact, a lot of people don't put my URL in the address bar. They search on Scoble. I see hundreds of hits, you know, from the word just Scoble, because people can remember that easier than remember Scobleizer.weblog.
Right.
Yeah. I can't remember the URL. Right. I'd probably use Scoble, too.
So why do you think people should blog? Well, corporations, not people. I don't want to do the sort of personal stuff. I really want to have your opinion.
Well, for a company, podcast. There's a couple reasons. There's a progression of reasons, right? The first reason is just to get PR, to show, oh, we're part of the conversation, and, you know, we're here too. We're cool. We're cool and have to, right? You know? And that, if that gets them on, that's fine. But they'll quickly find that there's a whole lot of deeper reasons to blog. For me at Microsoft, it was a magical tool that I started noticing was changing how products were developed. Because now you can go to Google and you can type OneNote blog, and you can find the guy who runs the OneNote team, and you can click on his comments and leave him a comment, say, your product sucks, please fix this, you know, fix the tabs or add RSS to it, or whatever your feature is that you want him to improve about the product. And then you can see how he answers and how his team answers, which I've never had that kind of conversation with a company before. Another deeper way is, now that I talked about this yesterday, you know, the word of mouth network, or the word of mouth thing, has always driven business, right? I helped run a camera store in Silicon Valley, and probably 80% of our sales came from word of mouth, because I would ask every customer as they came into my camera store, how do you hear about us? Oh, my friend Joe told me about you, and he's a photographer at work, you know. And the problem is, I never knew about that conversation while it was going on, and I certainly never could participate in it. Now I can do that with, at least if they talk about it on blogs. Now, obviously, blogs only shows 1/1000th of the number of conversations that are happening out there. But at least the ones that are there, I can listen to them by going to Technorati or Google Blog Search or a blog search engine like that, and typing my company name in, my product area, my competitor's name, you know, my product name, my last name, and, you know. I can put in like maybe 10 or 15 search terms into Technorati, and thanks to an RSS aggregator, every morning I can see what people said yesterday about my company, my product category, my competitor, da da da. And now I can, you know, spend 2 hours going to their blogs and saying, oh, I saw you talked about our competitor, you know. Did you know about me? You know, or I saw you had a problem with our product. How can I help fix that? You know, or I saw you didn't have a good experience in our store yesterday, and I'd like to invite you back, and the manager will help personally take care of you. You know, and what kind of branding does that build when a company employee comes over to your blog and talks to you? That builds a solid branding experience, because it's like, whoa, this company is listening, it's clued in, it's checked in, and these guys are empowered to fix my problems or even say thank you for your business, you know? It's like, wow, that's the kind of company I want to do business with, right? You know.
So how do you get them over their fear, though? You know, again, all of the listeners are probably going, well, stop talking about yesterday, but it was very interesting to me to watch the body language of all the people in the audience, and they listened to you, they loved it, it was inspirational, but they were afraid. You could just see they're sitting there going, yeah, but, and they're afraid. So how do you get them over the fear? I mean, you just sort of took Microsoft on and said, okay, I'm going to do this, but how do you get, I mean, these are corporate marketing people who've always been in control. How do you get them over their fear?
This is business, right? The rewards go to the risk takers. And the risk is going down, but the rewards are going down, right? If you're the first guy to do something, you get a lot of PR for it, right? Right now, if you're the first guy to build an experience in Second Life, you're going to get a lot of PR for that. You're already seeing that with companies who are building experiences right. in Second Life. And at Microsoft, I got a lot of good PR because I was the first corporate blogger, or one of the first. I really wasn't the first. I was already 80 when I got to Microsoft. But so one is, if you don't do it, your competitors will, because somebody will get clued in enough and join in the conversation, and their Google PageRank will start going up, and you'll be like, maybe you're number one or two today on Google, and then you'll be number three, number four, and you'll go, how did I drop to number five? You know, and if it gets bad enough, and enough of your competitors take over, you're going to get kicked off that first page. And I talked about the iTrack research we did at Microsoft. If you're not on that first page of Google results, you do not exist in business. So, like, if my pipes are leaking and I go to Half Moon Bay Plumber, if I don't find you, you don't exist. You know, I'll take whoever's on that home
page. Right, on the first page. Right.
On that first page. And then deeper than that, I'm going to start clicking around and see what kind of business you are. And do you share knowledge? Do you talk with your customers? Do you interact with them? Or do you have a static 1988 or 1998 web page, you know? Because the web page that was really cool and cutting edge for corporations in 1996 and 98 is not cutting edge anymore, you know. And customers, when they reach a web page like that, that doesn't have any life to it, doesn't have any information, doesn't have any new content being put up, doesn't change, is going to get derided almost. And a guy who understands the web and understands how to deal with it is going to go up in the rankings and in the word of mouth networks, because people are going to start talking about, hey, you should check that guy out. You know, how did I find out about Printing for Less, right? It was because people told me that's a good print shop, right? They take care of you, and they call you after your order gets shipped, right? A lot of things businesses do are done to create conversations in the word of mouth network. And blogging is just a tool. It's not the only thing I would do.
Right, you know? Right, right.
But it's a tool. Yeah, yeah. It's a powerful tool to talk to both Google, which is the impulse I had when I first started, and talk with the customers who are, you know, talking about you and creating those word of mouth conversations.
So before we go, who do you think has the best website that you can sort of remember off the top of your head, of a company that you're impressed with? You go to a company site and say, "Man, these guys are doing an awesome job." Was Microsoft one?
Some places, you know, Microsoft has 3,000 bloggers. What I like about Microsoft is I can talk at a deep level with regular employees down deep in the company. And I can have conversations about the product that they're working on. So if I'm trying it, like yesterday I tried out IE7, right? And the IE team is blogging, and a lot of the developers and people on the team are blogging. So if I have a complaint, like my computer crashed yesterday, I can go and bitch right on their blog and say, "Hey guys, you gotta fix this one. If you ship with this sucker, I'm gonna be like going supernova, you know?" And that's what I like about Microsoft and IBM and Sun both have lots of bloggers and at a granular level like that, so you can have deep product conversations. So I would say those three companies are doing an interesting thing that other companies, like General Motors, only the CEO blogs that I've seen. Actually, they have three bloggers
now. Yes,
they
have three. I went to their site recently,
And I'd like to see more of the deep, the guy developing the transmission, talking about what he's doing, and sharing a little bit about what he's working on next, and building a conversation. So if I bought a General Motors car, I could tell him, "Well, it makes a little weird noise that when I go 80 miles an hour, you know, why is it doing that? And can you fix it?" And maybe even I can take a microphone and record it for him, so, and send him the audio record. You know, there's all this feedback that companies aren't very good at listening at or don't know how to deal with, because they've never had to before, you know, or at least not for a long time, right?
Right, right.
General Motors marketing department is mostly about creating advertising that they push out messages. They don't listen back. What?
Yeah.
Your customers actually said something about our product.
Yeah.
Who cares? You know? And you didn't care because you couldn't participate in it, you couldn't measure it, and it was too small to matter, right? Because it was one-to-one. Now it's not one-to-one anymore. I talk to 50,000 people a day, right? So now, and that 50,000 may not be interesting to a General Motors marketing person, but the 50,000 who listen to me also have their own blogs, and it amplifies throughout the chain, and eventually it gets into mainstream press. This is why there's some PR still to be had by getting into the blogging thing, right? Other people have caught my eye. The General Motors thing is pretty good. Sun Microsystems, the CEO, is blogging. A lot of small companies are using it to talk about the building their company. You know, Munjal, who's the CEO of Ria, talks about building his product, and you know, and has conversations about his product, which is pretty interesting. Adobe has some interesting blogs. I like them because I like reading blogs from people who are passionate about what they do. You know, who love what they do, and that comes out in some of those blogs. Wells Fargo has an interesting blog, but you can tell they're sticking their toe in the water to see if it's really as warm as it looks. You know? and that's great, you know, because they got some PR.
They got to start somewhere.
I mean, my goodness. Somewhere, yeah. You know, but now go the next step. You got the good PR. Yeah. Now loosen up a little bit more and actually show us how banking's done. Why, you know, how do you guys make money? Oh, we make money off of fees. You know, admit that.
Right.
Come on, everybody knows it anyways, right?
Yeah.
So at least, you know, show us a little bit about your business. And by showing us some transparency into your business, it builds branding in my head. You know, oh, that company's clued in. They're talking with me. They're listening to me. You know, and maybe I have a bad experience at a Wells Fargo bank. I'm a Wells Fargo customer. So, and I can then go and say, hey, you know, Ms. Teller or Mr. Teller, you know, I had a bad experience. You know, can you pass this on to management? You know, and whatever that experience was, you know, at least I know it got hurt, right? Because somebody will say, oh, sorry about that.
Well, especially with you, as you're like blogging and you're like all of a sudden going, oh my God, how come all these people are calling us all of a sudden? So, So anyway, well, great. Okay, so I don't want to take any more of your time at this point. So this has been Robert Scoble, and he is with PodTech now. We're very lucky to have him here, and so we will do more of
these. We'll see if you say that in 6 months.
So he's got a lot of things coming up, and we're very excited about it. And this has been Jennifer Jones on Marketing Voices.
Thanks.
So to all of my listeners, thank you. May all the voices you hear be marketing voices.